Yo, this is Joe.
And this is your boy, Eli.
On this episode of the Awful Wrestling Podcast, we're going to be going over the February 8th episode of Monday Night Raw. Let's get into it.
Let's get it. It's going to be about 35 feet. So this week of Raw started off with the Shane McMahon segment, who came out specifically to talk about the Elimination Chamber. Yeah. For me, it's like WrestleMania season is coming. I expected him to be talking about who he's about to go against. Like, is he going to try to fight The Undertaker again? Like, Lord, I just feel like when Shane comes in WrestleMania season, something's about to happen. You know what I mean? Right. What did you think about the segment?
All right, so the first thing I absolutely had to note about this, like, I saw that Shane was entering with Adam Pearce and everything. It sounded like they had a fake Shane O'Mac chant, like, in the background. You probably had to go back and listen to it, but, like, it literally started, and I could hear, like, a fake Shane O'Mac chant in unison, and then they showed, like, the people on the LED boards, and nobody was saying that, like, at all. Like, it just sounded like WWE 2K20 crowd noise. Like, it was kind of really weird. Dead. They had to do that. Like, but if you go back and watch the clip, you will notice it's like a fake chant in there.
I didn't pick up on it.
Alternate realities, yeah. Anyway, why would everyone know to chant Shane O'Mac? Anyway, so like, I guess Shane was there to announce the – he was just there to announce the Elimination Chamber event, right?
He was, yes. Just there for the Elimination Chamber. That's it. That's all he said. He came out, talked about it. And then for a second, like, when he brought it up, I was like, that's still a pay-per-view? Like, I forgot all about it.
Right.
I'm just thinking about WrestleMania. Like, I'm just, okay, Rumble's over, WrestleMania, or, like, Fastlane's next or whatever.
Right.
I'd have forgot all about WrestleMania.
Elimination
Chamber.
I immediately think Fastlane, but I agree with you. I totally forgot about Elimination Chamber. But I think he was saying Drew's defending against Orton, Jeff Hardy, AJ, Miz, and Sheamus. They had the little Rush misfuse they had, all former WWE champions. The one thing to me that didn't really make any sense was putting Miz in the match. So it's like he's a Money in the Bank briefcase holder. So now he potentially has two shots at the WWE title. Like that portion doesn't necessarily make sense because he could lose a match, get eliminated, and then walk back out. Like, all right, you know, bam. It's like very rarely do I feel like they put the Money in the Bank briefcase holder in an actual match for the WWE title, because that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, it was when I saw that, it was kind of scary. It was like, you already have the Money in the Bank, and now there's a chance if you lose, you'll just cash in right afterwards. Like, I don't know, kind of, it made me very uneasy just seeing that. And I kind of want Drew McIntyre to enter WrestleMania as champion, even if he loses at Mania.
Yeah,
I still want him to enter as champion. You know what I mean? And I feel like this kind of like messes up the odds, or maybe it's a way for them to get rid of the cash in with Miz, so he tries to, but I don't know. It's really interesting. A little scared for Drew, though. A little scared.
Yeah, and I think they just basically use that to segue into the AJ versus Jeff Hardy match, right?
They did, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what did you think about this actual match?
I thought from the beginning it was very aggressive. It seemed like they really had a point to prove. Then the knee was hurt by Jeff later on in the match, and then they kind of went downhill from there. But Jeff was, like, very, very – he's, like, a step faster. I don't know what is the Hardy Boys, like, lately, but, like, they've been a step faster. And he seemed a little more aggressive, and then the knee injury caught up to him, and then AJ kept targeting the knee the whole time. And then I felt like Jeff still had a lot of fight left in him, but after that it was just kind of a wrap. It was downhill from there.
Yeah, when he started targeting the leg, I kind of saw that coming. Like AJ hit the calf crusher. I feel like AJ may be one of the final three. Obviously, Sheamus has to be because they really highlighted that. That short little clip where I think it was, who was it asking for a 1-on-1 match? I think Drew was asking, like, why can't this be a 1-on-1 match for Sheamus? So to me, that says, yo, Sheamus has to be in the top three with maybe another guy like AJ or something like that. And then they're going to still have their match after this at Fastlane or something like that. So the entire portion of the chamber, it just feels like we got some filler in between WrestleMania, and it's ultimately we're still going to get Drew and Sheamus for the title.
Yeah.
At Fastlane.
I think the match did a good job of promoting Elimination Chamber, this is Jody versus AJ, because the entire match they were talking about the chamber. Right. And they also did a good job of, you know, talking about the story of the match that was happening. So commentary did pretty good, and I feel like the match was cool. It's just, I don't know, like, I'm excited for Elimination Chamber, not as excited as I am for Mania. Like, like you said, it's just kind of like a filler, and I feel like it's just kind of there, like nothing major is going to change. But then something major could happen. We've seen with Kofi, you know, Elimination Chamber, but
this isn't SmackDown, really, bro. This isn't SmackDown.
Yes, it's not SmackDown. I'll get my hopes a little high, but I don't know. We'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, and then they had that backstage shame segment with Riddle and Keith Lee. So although I hated this segment with every fiber of my being, because they're making Riddle out to look like an absolute idiot, like with everything that he says. Like, I think that he was listing off something like Air Bud movies or something like that. I can't remember. Like, some Air Bud movies he was watching. I was like, who does this?
Like, I went home and I watched Air Bud. He said that I got toasty. He's like, I got toasty. And I watched all the Air Bud movies.
Yeah.
I was like, what? They're really leaning into that stoner gimmick.
Yeah, but it's not like, it doesn't feel like it's RVD stoner. It's just like, he's just dumb. I don't know. I don't quite get the angle that they're taking with the character. I don't know if Vince knows what he wants to do with the character. I think they're just kind of have him backstage eating bro nuts and I don't know. Bruh, I totally don't know where they're going with this, bro. But not my favorite segment, but overall, I was still happy to see that Keith Lee was added to this Riddle feud, because Riddle has tapped out like consistently for like the last 4 weeks, bro. So I feel like they needed some fresh blood in it, period, because we've already seen Riddle get absolutely dominated by Lashley in like 4 minutes. And obviously, Keith Lee is not in that main event title match at Elimination Chamber. So, and he needs a title, maybe not necessarily the WWE title, but he needs some validation. So adding them to the feud kind of spice it up. I was like, okay, I was happy to see him get added. Just, you know, the segment was dumb, but still happy to see it. You love to see it.
Yeah. I thought it was funny because, like, was it just me or did Lee seem really annoyed by Riddle?
Usually it's like,
okay, you're my friend. It's going to be all good. I got your back. But he seemed very annoyed by him. Like, bro, what are you talking about? You sound like an idiot. And why do you keep going after Bobby? I got you. Let me step in real quick, man. I can handle this. I'll handle Bobby. Because you can't do it. I don't know. I feel like I predicted this well as far as, like, my Mania picks.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely about to be Bobby versus Lee. I can see it happening. I don't know if it's going to go until WrestleMania. But I can see that. Or maybe even, like, Bobby versus Lee versus Riddle, hopefully. But it's definitely, I could definitely see Lee going over Bobby at Mania.
And I was actually going to say that, later, because they actually booked that match for Elimination Chamber, the triple threat match. They booked Riddle versus Bobby versus Keith Lee. So I feel like in this situation, since Riddle was lost like the last 3 or 4 times, I feel like maybe Riddle will be the fall guy in that match, and like Riddle loses the match. And, you know, because there's no DQ in it, so it's not like he can just get disqualified. So Riddle probably takes a fall in that, and then Keith Lee can lay claim to, hey, you never beat me, you know what I'm saying? Leading in the fast lane, and that I can see leading the Mania. And it's they do really, really big moments where it's like they don't want you to just get the title at the chamber. Unless you're on SmackDown, they don't care if you get it the week before. But I feel like they want a big WrestleMania moment for Keith Lee, so that might be it, getting the U.S. title, so.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Right. Then I think they also had like this backstage segment where Sheamus was complaining to Adam Pearce about him being in a chamber match with other guys instead of just having a direct title shot. What doesn't make sense to me about this is like he never actually earned a title shot with Drew. All he did was like kick him in the head. All he did was give him a bro kick. Like that does not make you the number one contender for the WWE title. So I really don't understand him complaining backstage, like logic wise, about being added to the chamber match and having to actually earn it. But it's raw. Like,
yeah, he pretty much attacked him and was his former friend. That's all you did to qualify for the title. That doesn't qualify you, bro. There's plenty of superstars on the roster that will qualify for a title shot if that's the case. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You're just not going to get it like that. But I did like his point in the promo where he was saying, like, I've been around the block here for a while. Like, I've been here for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And Drew's pretty much the shiny new toy, and I don't like how he's getting, like, treated differently. I like that as far as, like, his character, because Sheamus has changed a lot over the years. And I like him kind of being, like, this bitter friend of Drew. You know what I mean? Like, just being like, I feel like I was at the top at one point, and now I'm not. I kind of like that a little bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't have Sheamus versus Drew at Mania.
I can see them bleeding that over into that. I can see them bleeding that over into Mania.
They'd have to really book it strongly for me to get into it.
I know.
Like, they'd have to, like, Sheamus had to step up his acting another notch, and it had to get real emotional for me to really invest my time into it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know.
Our kids were supposed to go to college. What do you think about Bad Bunny? Like, so they had this segment where Bad Bunny is backstage showing Damian Priest a video on his phone with him hitting John Morrison with the mic from last Monday. Like, I'm pretty sure they probably show that later too, but I personally don't understand why he would be showing this to Damian when Damian Priest obviously has Wi-Fi at his home, and if he wanted to, he probably would have watched this like 27 times already. To me, it's just like, this feels like another example of like WWE not rewarding viewers who tune in each week. Like, they always find a way to just recap the same thing that we've just seen like the previous week multiple times. Like, they're just horrible at reminding us of things. But I also wonder, I don't know, what's it? I still don't understand his involvement with Damian Priest. It doesn't make any sense to me just yet.
They're both Latino. That's all I can really pull from
it. What's the other connection?
Like, there's no other connection besides that. Like, I don't. And they're trying to say, like, they're friends, but it's like, we know they're not friends, bro.
Yeah.
Like, they call this at one point, I don't know if it's the reality era still, but it's like, we know, like, these people's real lives. Like, you're not really telling this to us very well. Unless, like, he was showing up for the performance and he saw Damian Priest backstage and was like, yo, we got to be friends. And that's how they became friends. But, like, I don't know. But I do like them using Bad Bunny to put Priest over. I do appreciate that. Like, that's a good way to be introduced to the main roster through a celebrity that's like a multi
for now.
Multi-platinum selling artist. Yeah. So for now.
I can take like one more week of this before I'm absolutely sick of it. Like, just because I get why they initially had him do it at the Rumble, you know, with the turntables and everything. But it's just like when he continuously shows up to Raw, like, it doesn't necessarily – it makes sense as to why Bad Bunny was at the Royal Rumble, because he had an appearance. He was getting paid to perform Booker T, you know what I'm saying? Right. But at this point, with him showing up every Monday, it's like, does Bad Bunny have a club appearance in Florida every Monday? Like, why is he still here? Like, we knew why he was at the Rumble. We knew why Damian Priest interfered with the turntables, you know, whatever happened. But it's like, what makes this man want to be here? Like, kind of connect the dots and make the story align. Like, why does he know the 6 foot?
Make it make sense.
Why does he know this 6'7" man? Like, is he a friend of the family? Like, what is going on? Why is he hanging out backstage showing him YouTube videos? Like, it just doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I heard that it's rumored too that they're trying to do Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus Miz and Morrison at WrestleMania. I heard that that's planned.
Please no.
Yeah.
Miz and Morrison have been buried in 2-on-1 handicap matches already enough this year. Like, adding Bad Bunny to the mix is not going to help them.
Because they were saying that apparently, like, he has a t-shirt from the Rumble, I guess, or just a Bad Bunny t-shirt through WWE Shop. And it sells a bunch. It sells a lot of numbers. Like, it sells a lot. And merch. That's the reason why they keep bringing him back, because of merch. He makes them a lot of money because they're thinking like, oh, people like this guy. They're buying the shirts. Let's keep having them on TV. And that's why it's happening.
Okay. It's all about the money. It's always the connection. Yeah. Something to do with the money. I could do with him like interfering like outside of the match, but you know, he doesn't really look like he has that much athleticism. Yeah. I just see it kind of being like a cringe fest when we basically have him doing one hot tag at the end, you know, barely being able to clothesline the Miz. Like, I don't know if I want to see it. I don't know if I want to see it.
Booker T comes out for the save.
Yo!
He be like, Booker T!
No, you know what? Dog, I hate it, bro. I hate it.
He starts performing Booger T at the match.
Booker T's just standing there.
He's gonna stand there and be like, "Yeah, Booker T, can you dig that sucker? Like a $5 steak. This is tougher than a $5 steak."
All right, bro.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yo, so they did what Ric Flair and Lacey Evans go to the ring. So I personally, you remember how I felt about this a few weeks ago. I actually feel like they've kind of taken a turn with this angle, because before it made no sense. Like, but now they're kind of relaying the story as Rick is just passing on his expertise to someone who needs it. And Lacey is just kind of, you know, trying to use Rick to get under Charlotte's skin and get more wins and stuff, which again, it makes more sense than like the whole love interest angle or whatever they were originally doing, because that was absolutely awful. It sounds like they kind of spun it like to that in that direction. And it sounds like the real plan is like trying to get like a three-way title match between Lacey and Asuka and Charlotte, which again, that makes way more sense than whatever it initially looked like Lacey was going at the tag team titles, but then they lost it. Like, it just didn't make any sense. So it sounds like they're trying to make sense of the story. Cause I think for this thing, the main thing was if Lacey is able to beat Charlotte, then she can fight Asuka in a match, which somehow Rick got WWE officials to do. That doesn't make any sense, but
it was nice to me that she finally stated her intentions, because for a minute I was like, what is she doing? Like, are you just don't like Charlotte, or what's happening? You know what I mean? So I feel like she's finally stated her intentions, and now we know like what her plan is. So maybe they can spin it to where, like, you know, Charlotte's trying to save her or save Rick from her in some capacity, and then maybe hopefully this doesn't go to Mania, though. I don't want this to go to Mania.
I don't want this to go to Mania. I'm extra good on it, bro.
I don't even want this at Fastlane. I don't know. Hopefully it's a way for, you know, her to get Ric Flair back in her good graces. I noticed that her name's like Charlotte Flair now, not just Charlotte. So I don't know if that's going to be a thing moving forward or whatever. But I think as far as like the promo, Flair was on 10 from the jump. Like,
yo.
Usually like you start off kind of low and you'd be like, you know, well, last week I did this. He just is like, as soon as he touched the mic, he was like, you know what? Charlotte, you know? I was like, dang. Like, he was just turd. But I don't know. It's just like a weird excuse for a legend who can clearly stand on his own to be like, I didn't want to sit at home. And that's why I tried to help Lacey out. Like, it just didn't make sense. Like, he can come at any time or do anything he wants as Ric Flair. Like, you don't. Yeah. You can do what you want to do. Like, you're not just sitting at home. Like, I found that hard to believe. And I don't know. I feel like Lacey was kind of decent in this segment. Like, she's been doing a decent job in this role, I think. But I just don't really care for the storyline. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I'm glad that they have her doing something more, because she kind of, like, I feel like they debuted a character, like, what, 2 years ago? And she's kind of just been floundering. So I'm glad
they had her lose too many times. They had her lose too many times, and it's like, just when you thought they were gonna pull the trigger on her, bam, she loses, and she's back to not winning any matches, not really being featured on TV. So and I feel like, yo, if you don't want this to go to Fastlane, unfortunately, I got some news for you, bro. They are probably gonna push. You're probably gonna be seeing this at Backlash, the rematch for the eighth match, bro. Like, God. I see them pushing this a very, very long time. I did like how they called her, Charlotte called her Charlotte Flair 2.0, because I've always felt like that was basically what Lacey Evans was.
What I'm trying to do.
Maybe a less, I don't want to say Lacey is like less, like not like a less athletic, because that's like this or whatever, but like maybe a less coordinated, maybe a less coordinated, less coordinated version of Charlotte Flair without the name too, because, you know, you're eliminating like the Flair name. So maybe she is trying to like get under her skin and get that. But I'm cool with seeing it for about a month and a half. That's it.
Tops.
And then, tops.
And he's in.
Right.
And he's the wrap up. What did you think about the match though? Lacey focusing on Charlotte's arm and all that stuff.
Yeah, the match was decent. It did kill it at the end for me, just because it's another Raw match that ends in DQ. Like, at this point, wins and losses don't mean anything.
Not at all.
Not at all. I could kind of see, like, just watching it, I was kind of seeing, like, the similarities. Like, you know, when Lacey did that moonsault, I'm like, oh, yeah, Charlotte does something just like that. It's, like, very, very similar. Lacey is kind of like a rusty Charlotte. No, I'm sorry. Not rusty. But it's, like, there's just, there's certain, not rusty. There are certain things she does, like, that Charlotte kind of has this more polished, I'll just say. So I could definitely see the story there. Where like Rick can elevate her. But the match again, the match was decent. The match was decent. I think Lacey had like a slingshot elbow. There are a couple things that I liked in it. I could see the
There
reason
was a
for it. They kind of tied the
nice
story to it. Yeah.
spear that Charlotte did where I was like, dang. And I forgot she did the spear for a minute. It just kind of popped up out of nowhere and I was like, dang, like she has the spear too. Like she's almost untouchable.
Yeah.
Like she has everything to her advantage. And then I like how she was pretty much just using, well, Lacey was using Rick to stop Charlotte from doing certain moves and stuff. I like how she kind of used that as a heel. So I don't know. It's okay. I just don't know if I can watch this for another couple of weeks. Like it's got to wrap up soon. You know
It's Raw, so get ready, bro. I'm
No.
here to let you know. Remember Mysterio and Seth Rollins, Buddy Murphy? You got about 6 more months, bro.
Oh my
But
God. So what'd you think of the Edge segment with him coming out and he was supposed to be saying who he's going to be wrestling at Mania, but it kind of didn't go in that direction.
we knew it wasn't going in that direction. We knew they were going to stall for an entire month for that. So I didn't even get my hopes up, especially with what they said at SmackDown, with this, like, they were saying, like, oh, yeah, this is all in. And, like, I think Roman was saying, I will need your decision by the end of the night. And he didn't give it to him. I was like, yeah, they're going to
It's
drag
not
this out
happening.
after Mania. And I think Edge actually said he's going to wait until the dust settled after Elimination Chamber. So I was like, yeah, okay. But one thing I did love about this segment, I'm so glad that Edge pointed out like how stupid it is that Miz comes out every week and telling him exactly what he's going to do with the briefcase, like, because that makes absolutely no sense to me. Edge was like, I'm the ultimate opportunist, you know, I was an opportunist with it, I would just strike whenever, and you're literally coming out and telling me exactly what you're going to do with it. That's absolutely dumb. And then
I
the
wrote that
thing
down too.
he said about, he was like, the Miz is content with being awesome. He was like, I did that. Yeah, so I love the portion where Edge was, you know, pointing out that Miz was content with being awesome, and Edge said he did that 20 years ago. He definitely took that personally. But Edge is definitely good with these promos he's been cutting, just like verbally cutting people. It was dope.
I like how he before he left out the ring, he was like, I think on a different level than you. I was just like, dang, like
It
it felt kind of disrespectful in his
did.
face. Like he seemed hurt by what he said. I really liked that. Like it seemed like it got a little personal. Not like really, but like it seems like Edge got very heated and that kind of affected Miz in a way, like for real.
Yeah, for
So I
real,
really enjoyed that part of it. But I don't know. Like I feel like I appreciate and enjoy that Edge is pretty much weighing his options before he makes the decision. Because I feel like that's what any normal person would do. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's what any normal person would do is to like actually weigh your options. So I feel like that makes sense. And then I was gonna say too, like this is very random, but like why doesn't NXT have at least like one match at every pay-per-view on the main roster? Because isn't NXT technically like a main roster show now? Like wasn't that the thing established at
Right.
Survivor Series a few years ago? Like I never understand why they're never present at any of the pay-per-views except their own. Like they should at least have like one or two matches at Mania. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me to keep them like a separate brand. And it's like, even with the Survivor Series thing, they didn't even include them in Survivor Series this year, right?
Nah, not at all. And then
Like,
it would be dope if they had like a chamber match too, at least.
yes, I would love an NXT Chamber match. Like, to me, it's never made sense to me that they call it like NXT TakeOver, and they've almost never taken over any WWE event except for that one.
Not at all.
They've never taken over anything. So it's
Yeah.
like, why have this third brand with this awesome talent, and you're just never going to do anything with it? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it does not make any sense. They could at least have a segment of each pay-per-view called NXT TakeOver or something. I don't know. I don't
Yeah.
know. It's interesting. But yeah. Also like the Miz coming out to remind Edge that he's the Money in the Bank winner, but then I also like how Edge just kind of cut into him like you were saying. But yeah, Edge was just talking real greasy. He was talking real greasy to Miz and I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then I think up next was the Damian Priest versus Angel Garza match that started like right after. What'd you think about the Damian Priest versus Angel Garza match?
So I was actually a fan of the match. I'm actually a fan of Damian Priest at the moment. Just the subtle moves he does. I didn't know if I was going to get into the whole archery thing or not, but I was actually a fan of it. Like the whole, he has some unique moves that I rarely see other wrestlers do, like the bell clap he does. I would like that. And then just whatever that corner move is, that running corner strike in the Reckoning, like everything. I'm just a fan of. Again, I wish this was more so like a solo push and not connected to like a hokey storyline that doesn't really make any sense. It would kind of like, a celebrity, like, and really, I'd more so like to see him maybe as a heel or something like that, maybe against like Keith Lee or a guy like that. But as for like the current state of what they're doing with it, it's acceptable because his matches are decent. I'll just say that.
Gotcha. I feel like for me, it's like as much as I want to hate a celebrity being in a storyline, I feel like Bad Bunny's doing his role. You know what I mean? As like a valet manager slash role.
Yeah.
So I'm not really too mad at it. And it seems like it's like there's some actual charisma there from Bad Bunny. So I'm not too mad at it. But Priest, man, he was going off in this match. Like his striking ability is A1. Like I've never seen a big man strike this quick before. That was really entertaining to watch. And I really like Bad Bunny helping Priest be able to get the win and everything. So I think Miz and Morrison tried to cheat, so Bad Bunny came back and cheated. It was a decent little story. I liked it. It was a cool match.
Yeah,
same. It wasn't too bad.
Same. And I think following this match, they were saying that Lacey is now like the number one contender because Charlotte, lost her cool and she ended up losing by DQ. So they set up that match. Setting up a lot of matches for Elimination Chamber, so I feel like it's right around the corner. I don't know when it is.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, I didn't even check the look, but like so for some of these pay-per-views, they're literally booking them like 2 weeks out. Like sometimes we'll have a pay-per-view and then like 2 or 3 weeks, or like they were like, next week is SummerSlam. I'm like, dang, bro, we just had whatever.
It's like, dang.
Yeah, so the fact that they're booking them quickly may mean that it may be happening really quickly. But I think the next match was the Keith Lee versus Riddle match. And to me, this was probably like my favorite match of the night, of course. This features two of my favorite superstars. What did you think about this match?
I really liked MVP on commentary.
I said the same thing. I love MVP on the mic, man. He's a perfect heel mic commentator, bro.
Yeah, it was very entertaining. He was just kind of scoping out the competition for Bobby. I thought that was dope. And he was almost like comparing Riddle to Lashley for Lee. You know what I mean? Like, well, Riddle did this, but Lashley can do this. So, like, I really enjoyed that aspect of it. Man, Keith Lee, though, he has some crazy explosive power, bruh. Like, just seeing him, like, launch. Seeing him shoulder block and just launch Riddle in the air, that's so crazy to me. It's so crazy. He's so talented. I feel like there was just some really good movement between the two of them. It was very high-paced. And that spirit bomb he did, bro, it was so much velocity on that spirit bomb to finish the match. It was crazy. But yeah, it was a cool little match, man. And then Bobby came out hating. He had to flex his power real quick. You know what I mean? But yeah, it was dope.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this, like, I'm with you on how strong they made Lee look. Like, even, like, in the very beginning when he was, like, lifting Riddle with one arm, like, it was pure strength.
Yeah, definitely.
I love MVP on the mic, and, like, unlike the Lashley matches, it wasn't like Riddle was just getting dominated because he was getting his offense in, too. Like, it was kind of like a good mix of both people kind of getting the offense, even though Lee was clearly going to win, and he was kind of more so, like, a bit more aggressive. I think he called it a floating bro. That was really dope to me.
That was dope, yeah.
Whatever, I guess, yeah, that's what she called it, like off the top rope. But when Lashley came out and he picked up Lee, like that one arm slam, like I have never seen Lashley look this strong at any point in time in his run in WWE.
Yeah.
Like even in like 2007, like it was that kind of Lashley. Like he's never looked this
strong.
Yeah, he's never looked this feared, like, and this focused. Like, I love it, and I actually do want to see the triple threat match. So, because I think they were saying that they were booking this now as a triple threat match between Riddle and Lashley and Keith Lee, which I'm actually cool with because, again, you can have Riddle take the fall and like Keith Lee can come back and say it and then lose or vice versa, or however you want to book it. And we can still get a rematch for that one-on-one match, because I feel like, although I would like to see a triple threat, I would much rather see a one-on-one match between Keith Lee and Bobby Lashley, and Lee getting like his own moment and winning the U.S. title, if that's the direction you want to go in.
I like that. I like that a lot. That'll be dope.
And then the main event was Drew and Orton. I kind of looked at the time. I cheated and looked at the time like left on this. I was like, yeah, okay. This is going to be like 8 minutes and somebody's going to interfere. Like, it's like my expectations were really, really low just because of the time we had left. I'm like, Raw never ends in a match that's like, it's just like a clean win or something. Like, it's always going to end the DQ. So my expectations were very, very low. I don't even know why I had any in the beginning, especially with Sheamus being involved with a few with Drew. And then also, like, we still got the Fiend kind of lurking wherever he is. I'm like, okay, somebody's going to come out and mm-hmm. do this, whatever. So when Sheamus came out with the distraction, I was like, yeah, okay, we know where this is going. Especially with like a 9 minute match. But anyway, like for me, this was like, all you can say about Randy Orton's matches is they're physical. Like, same thing with the Sheamus is like, well, it was physical. Like, but with a typical Orton match, it's like superplex off the top rope, DDT. He slows the pace, RKO counter, and then the opponent hits their signature and something happens. You know what I mean? But for this, again, I absolutely hated the finish with Sheamus going to get the bro kick and then like hitting Randy, and then Drew gets his quote unquote redemption, I guess, because he kicked him. It's just one of the worst booking things, like one of the worst shows on television right now for me. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, it, the predictability of it, the way that they close Raw on a weekly basis, like I just kind of makes my blood boil. Like, I absolutely hate it, bro. But what'd you think about it?
Yeah, your blood is boiling. Unboiled, bro. Unboiled. Not playing. I think Randy was pretty dominant to start off the match, and I like how Drew kind of slowly began to climb back into the match. And I almost seemed like it was going to be like a good like final chapter for these two, because I know like before the match started, there was a promo from Randy saying how he's going to finish the unfinished business. But I just wish it was finished, period. but I don't know. I feel like Randy was pretty dominant starting off, and then Drew calmed the back. And I love watching Randy wrestle, man. Like, I know his character can be kind of dull sometimes, but him in the ring, he's so good, man. Like, his attention to detail, like, the little things he does is just so great. Like, his faces and, like, his timing for everything. I just, like, it's perfect. And I get, like, kind of after a while feeling as if, like he does the same stuff every time or the same clothes with him. But I feel like that's also because, like, we've watched him for, like, 20 years,
bro.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So it's like, it's going to get kind of stale after a while. But
And he's not going to do new moves. He's not going to be doing like coming out with flips and stuff like that. So it's like,
nah, he made fun of those wrestlers. So I don't see him doing that.
No super kicks. No.
Yeah, no super kicks. I'd be shocked. Like, yo, you could do that? Randy, that's crazy. But the Future Shock DDT from Drew McIntyre was dope. It looked pretty effective towards the end. And I was just mad that Sheamus interfered. I just wanted them to have a good close to where this could be done.
Right
now, I feel like they're going to be like, well, I never got – Randy's going to be like, I never really got the ending that I wanted for this chapter, and he's going to probably re-challenge Drew or come at Drew or something. And then I can almost see this going to, like, a triple threat, too, at Elimination Chamber, where it's Randy versus Sheamus versus Drew. But I don't know.
I can see that, too.
Yeah, we'll see. But it was a pretty, pretty good match. Decent little match, I felt like. But I get what you mean by, like, it feeling kind of stale.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, overall – what would you rate it? I feel like I would give it like a 2.5 out of 5.
That's exactly what I was going to give it, because best match of the night, again, did not like the main event. Best match of the night was probably the Riddle and Keith Lee match for me, especially the hype between Bobby kind of being like, hyped up and actually like feared and stuff. But the rest of it was like just decent. It was typical stuff you see on Raw. Two disqualifications, a couple of things that just made absolutely no sense, and me needing about 3 hours of my time back. So, yeah, 2.5 out of 5.
I got you. Well, that was another episode of the Off Wrestling Podcast. And please do remember, if you did not like this episode, you cannot say that we did not warn you that it would be trash in the jump. We'll see y'all next time.
Peace.
going to be about 35 feet.